It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, my favorite segment, the professor of football, Brian Bulaga, gets to talk with Jason Wilde and actually the doctor of football. I got confused. I have so many nicknames. And because he's nice, he starts it because I'm not.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
Good, Brian. I thought I was the... Am I the professor of football?
No, you're the Packer... You are the Packer professor, and Brian Bulaga is the doctor of football. Your expertise is the Packers. I believe Brian Bulaga's expertise transcends the Packers. I think he...
I think your nicknames are stupid.
Thank you.
You're
well, Jason... I only have so much time with you on Thursday, so I want to get to it.
And, yeah, for sure.
You know, I guess the big thing out of today was Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love was day to day. What are you hearing on that? Is it actually day to day, or is this just, you know, coach talk?
So apparently he told Larry McCarron that. Again, I don't understand why we're doing this. You know, he did say that Jordan can play without practicing. He said that yesterday. Jordan did not practice today. I don't know if I would, like, I would rather have, if I'm LaFleur, if I'm a Packers fan, obviously I would rather have Jordan play with no practice than have a guy that has been with the team for 18 days play with all the practice reps all week long. So I get that part of it. I just, again, you've talked about MCLs, you've had them yourself, the pain tolerance, et cetera. I just don't see them. I'll be very, very, very surprised if he's playing on Sunday. I just don't see them doing it right away the first game after the injury. I guess I wouldn't rule out Tennessee, but in my mind, he is not playing on Sunday against the Colts. And if he runs out of that tunnel, we're number 10 and active and starts the game, I will apologize to all of our listeners for misreading the situation. But based on the way that they have talked and he's got to get cleared, and I kind of entrapped LaFleur a little bit during the press conference today with one of my questions about the challenge of getting the team ready when a backup quarterback is going to play. I thought some of his answers, you know, kind of betrayed what is really going on. You know, Steno was very careful about his answers too. They've clearly coached the players to keep this as a possibility. But the bottom line is I'm about 99. I would never say 100% like Homer does, but I'm about 99.9% certain that Malik Willis will be your quarterback on Sunday.
Okay, so if that is the case, what has the team, or what has been kind of the, I don't know, the morale around Malik Willis this week with the guys on the roster? Does it seem like they're trusting in him, like, or is it just kind of seem like, we don't know. We're about to find out. This guy's been here for 2 weeks. We have no idea about anything about him yet. Or is there a little more positivity around it?
Yeah, I think there's some positivity, but that's kind of what you're required to do, whether you fully believe it or not. So the authenticity of that, I'm not sure. I would say this, and Brian, do you know, being the stellar athlete that you were, both as a high schooler and at Iowa before your NFL career, did you ever play hockey?
No.
Okay, so early in my career, I covered University of Wisconsin men's hockey. It was before they even had a women's program. And early in my career, they had the all-time winningest goaltender in school history. His name was Dwayne Dirksen as their goalie. And they were going into the WCHA, that was the conference the hockey team played in, the Western Collegiate Hockey Association. They were the top seed in the conference. They go into the tournament, and in the first game, Dwayne Dirksen gets slashed by a skate, gets a huge gash, can't play the rest of the postseason. They're an NCAA tournament team, and he was among the best goalies in college hockey. And so their backup was a guy named John Michelizzi that some snarky sports writers called John Civ-Elizzi because he wasn't really as good as Dirksen. He was the backup for a reason, right? And I have never seen defensemen in the game of hockey throw their body at pucks and work their tails off every shift to try and limit the number of shots on goal that John Michelizzi faced during the WCHA playoffs and then during their NCAA tournament berth. And what I believe is that while they want that guy to succeed, there's also a lower level of confidence, obviously, compared to, say, Jordan Love versus Malik Willis. So I think if there's anything, it's not necessarily an optimism. It's say, okay, we have got to raise our play to help him succeed. And whether that's the line, whether that's Josh Jacobs, you obviously want to say, well, I play at the same high-pitched, top-flight level every single snap. But we all know that's not true. But if you're out there with the backup quarterback, I would think that you would try to ratchet it up. And it's LaFleur's job to find a way to kind of tell him, hey, that's great, we want you to ratchet it up, but don't try to do more than you're supposed to, because that's, as LaFleur said to me today, that's when mistakes happen. So I don't know. I am fascinated by the psychology of this. LaFleur wants no part of that conversation. He just wants to talk about football and how they've come up with the right X's and O's to give Malik Willis a chance to succeed. But I'm with you. I'm curious about what the authentic morale and optimism and attitude is of those players.
Yeah, I mean, that's – and listen, it's a – you said it. It's a tough situation to be in as a player when a backup QB goes in. Yes, you got to say the right things. You have to be positive. You have to, in your mind, like you said, take care of your business and do it a little bit higher. But when you think about that as an athlete on the field, you sometimes tend to do too much. And too much leads to bad things. And that's what they have to try to avoid. Which, listen, I they got enough weapons on this team that Malik Willis just has to be in control and control the football game. He doesn't have to be Jordan Love, but it's all based on what LaFleur schemes and doesn't and how they execute it. I just want to move over to the defensive side of the ball. What has kind of been the message from those guys this week? Obviously, the new scheme. You know, it didn't go perfect against the Eagles. They did get the three takeaways, which is fantastic, but obviously would have preferred to not give up as many points. How is the messaging on that side of the football going into this game when they know it's a big week for them? They kind of have to be the side of the ball. That
play Evan Williams more. How about that,
yeah,
Jason?
Well, they are going to. So we did talk to Halfley. Real quick on the offensive side, I did think it was interesting. I asked Steno about the idea of how do you run the football when everybody in the building knows you're going to want to run the football to take the heat off your backup quarterback. And I thought it was interesting. He basically said, look, if the defense is going to load the box and dare us to throw the football, we're going to take what the defense gives us. And we think Malik can make those throws to the guys that we have. We got a lot of talent at wide receiver. So I don't know if they'll actually be able to do it in the game, but their attitude is that if they're going to dare us to throw the football, we're going to throw the football on them. And yeah. I don't know how effectively Malik Willis will do that. If you look at his three starts as a rookie for Tennessee, he did not throw the football very often for them. They did have Derrick Henry on their team. The Packers do have Josh Jacobs, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. We did talk to Halfley today at length. We had him for almost 20 minutes, and you know, I kind of said, look, I don't want to. I know you don't need me to make excuses for your guys, but when you don't play in the preseason, I remember when Dom Capers came in 2009, he played his guys and he ran his stuff, and his attitude was, I don't care if it's on film. These guys need to do it so they know what the hell they're doing when the games start. And Halfley and the Packers obviously did not take that approach. And you kind of saw what you saw, especially during that long drive at the end. And he was very blunt. He said, we don't need to make excuses. It wasn't good enough. They got the takeaways, which was good, but they had some bad run fits. There was the touchdown run that Saquon Barkley had where they had Edger and Cooper on the field, and he misaligned, and there was all this kind of miscommunication and trying to get him lined up, and they took Edger and Cooper out of the game after that. And then later they reinserted him so he could get some more opportunities. But, you know, they were not good enough, and he flat out happily said that. So he doesn't need me to say that, but he said it. And, you know, LaFleur predicted that the biggest jump will be from week one to week two for a group that hadn't played a lot at all together in the preseason. And we'll see if that's actually the case. This is a team with a really good offensive line, obviously an elite back, a quarterback who is young and inexperienced, but big. You know, Halfley said he looks like a defensive end, and can throw the ball a country mile. So whether or not, you know, their defense can carry the team and make it so Malik Willis has to do very little to win the game, I think that would certainly make life easier for everyone. But I'm eager to see how they bounce back, because they got the takeaways. They deserve credit for that. But when Saquon Barkley's able to do what he did against them, and that's a talented offense, don't get me wrong, but I second Jeff Halfley's opinion that it definitely wasn't good enough. And while it might be better in the long run than the Joe Barry system, it definitely was not appreciably better last Friday.
We are out of time, but that means that only the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, can ask one more question for Jason Wilde, if you would like.
I know, Jason, you're on all the pregame shows and everything like that. Besides, obviously, if the backup quarterback's in playing well, what do you think the key is to this game? What position group do you think has to dial it in this week and play their best ball for this team to get a win when, really, the Packers are home dogs, which I haven't seen in a long time?
Yeah, well, I spend too much time with offensive linemen, clearly, because I'm going to say the offensive line. And, you know, we've talked about how good Zach Tom is. You know, Steno said that both Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan did good things, and then they did not so good things. So they're going to keep that rotation going. To me, the biggest thing is, what is Josh Myers going to do to make it easier? He already handles all the run declarations. He told me that he's going to have to do some of the pass calls on the line of scrimmage, and he's prepared for that. But he's got to play really well. And I think when you watch the film, we talked about this yesterday, you know, he wasn't terrible, but he certainly wasn't top flight. So he needs to play well. That whole group needs to play well. And if they are going to try and run the ball, they have to find ways for it to be productive, because otherwise they got no chance.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time, and we'll get back. I really wanted to ask him if he thinks I should make that bet as far as Malik Willis will not throw an interception, bet 100, win 128. But the Twitter has spoken. 73%. Homers, stay away from it. The next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Bucks stars share their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, from battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it on bucks.com/plus. The Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. I don't even know what Brian Bulaga is going to say next, but I know it'll be good.